Thank you, Mr. West Tuttle. Appreciate that. Okay, let's open the scriptures to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I meant to sing Sunday morning, have a sing, and after the response of what we did sing, it'd been better. But I meant to sing Amazing Grace and talk about the slave fortresses that we visited. It's amazing how we treat one another in the human race. I mean, the way the Jews were treated, just unbelievable things happened that we can almost understand in relationship to the spiritual warfare where Satan wants to get rid of the Jews. But you just look at the way that people are taught or treat each other. In Africa, they had the, I don't know if you saw it in the parade, the 10 worst dictators in the world right now. And if you have still have Sunday's paper, you might want to take a look at it. It is just, it's what? And it's unbelievable how it takes Zimbabwe for an example, and they just by government approval go in and rape a 13-year-old girl just to get even with the parents who won't support something. They kill, and the dictator, nobody opposes. Well, they had some guerrilla warfare, but nothing strong enough to oppose him, and the world just goes on. And, of course, Sudan, hundreds of thousands of people have been killed there. China, it's just unbelievable how people treat people. And Mexico is getting just about as bad. The way they're treating people down there, and killing just at random, shooting people down, not just the police forces, but people. And it's just amazing. People think these things cannot happen in America. I'm going to tell you something, people. We're not, we don't have some kind of a guarantee these things are not going to happen. And we're losing more and more freedoms. I think no matter what else can be said of the current president's term of office, first term, we're going to lose freedoms. We already are, and we're going to lose a lot more. All in the name of for our good. Just like Woodrow Wilson did, FDR did. Anytime you have a bad down, that's when Satan uses it. He'll use it in our personal lives. He'll use it in church. He'll use it in business. But he'll use it politically around the world. So it's just unbelievable. The stories in the slave trading. And the 1443, and then 1462, the British came in and built a fort, and it's been going on long before America was ever even an issue. And the way they treated these slaves, natives treating other natives, taking them as slaves, and then the way the Dutch treated them, the way the British treated them, it just shake your head. How can people do that to another person? I think it'd be more humane just to shoot them and treat them the way they did. But that's history of the human race. And but it was really an eye opener to visit the forts and listen to the stories and hear, read about them. I brought a book that told us the history of it, a little pamphlet book. And I don't know if I told you, but what is so just so pathetic on the religious side is if you had this big fort, let's say, and over here you have, down here you had the men, the male slaves, 250 in a room, not much bigger than this one, and they were shackled, which means you can't take care of yourself cleaning, and just a little cut in the groove for the latrine area. And then come around over there is where the women are treated a little better for you know why. And the head of this fortress had upstairs, and all the women would have to come out, and he'd pick out one. And whenever these things happened, right across, if this is the big courtyard, over here, in the upper level, is the chapel. Oh, we got a chapel! And a sign over the door when you enter the chapel says, this is where God lives. So whatever happens outside of the chapel, it's all off. All bets off there. Come in here. This is where God is. So you got to be respectful. And whenever the fortress commander would do his thing, he had him close all the windows to the chapel so that God couldn't see what he was doing. And I can't even imagine, Dan and I talked, I can't even imagine a man of God that would serve there and not do anything, say anything. He wasn't there. I thought, okay, well, if he's there, there's nothing I can do about it except I can give these slaves the gospel. If that were it, I wouldn't want to be called to that, but I could understand that. Okay, they need the gospel. Then why he was there? He was there to appease the conscience of all these people that were running the fortress. And it's just amazing. We'll see Sunday morning how the Jews profane God. I can just imagine what he would say about Christians, if these are even Christians, throughout history of the church age. Things that are done in his name. But and that's another thing I'm having trouble with. I was on a good momentum. Do you realize how many verses we covered Sunday?
Yeah.
We covered quite a few verses. So I was going to cover verses, I guess it would have been 17, 18, 19, 20, 21 through the end of the chapter. Well, I got going into that and didn't get very far. But I'm still going to find a way to get the momentum and keep that momentum going. But so let's prepare ourselves. First of all, let's go through prayer. Let's see. First of all, I want to continue to be in prayer for Tish. Is she not feeling well now? Okay, I didn't. All right. And Eve, we got Eve back with us. Yay, Eve, yay. And she got on the treadmill today, so she's feeling good. All right. Very good. And be like Jim or I got on the treadmill. We may fall asleep during class tonight, but hopefully you stay awake with us. But we're very happy that everything worked out and no operation, no surgery. And you're here. Very good. It was very nice meeting your daughter at the hospital. Very nice. And she said, I've heard some wonderful things about you. And I said, those are the rumors I started. And but it was very nice to have met your daughter. Let's see, we need to be in prayer for Judith's mom and dad. Her mom physically okay, just emotionally, and get that settled down. Then we need to, and her dad Harold, we need to be in prayer for Vic Edwards, as Vic is not doing well. Need to be in prayer for Nancy Becker, who's not doing well. And we'll have no class tomorrow night. I'm going to leave early in the morning and go spend a few days with Nancy and Don, and just feel like I have to do that. So I'm going to be doing that Wednesday through Saturday. And let's see, Nathan's going to be coming home, so that's good news. All right. And that's good. And Wes, if you need to get away, you can come stay with me.
Oh.
Yes.
We want to keep my friend Sherry.
Sherry, yes.
Because she is having to do therapy she doesn't have use of her left arm, and she's having difficulty walking.
Oh, well, okay.
So right now she's just getting around with a wheelchair or maybe the aid of a walker, but
yeah.
She's definitely in therapy for that. Hope she will be out, she said, maybe next, in about a week and a half.
Okay. Great.
She'll have other complications. I know we're stroke, so.
All right, we need to be in prayer for her.
Medications.
Right. Now, Vic was to go in today for the scan.
He took the scan Saturday. He'll have the results tomorrow.
Oh, okay, he took it Saturday.
Doctor's going to tomorrow, and he'll get the results tomorrow.
Okay. And hopefully I'll...
Ask him to be
hopefully that'll be good. And someone else was going to have an operation this week. Tana. Tana's father.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, Tana's father. So let's be in prayer.
Lawrence.
Yeah, be in prayer for Lawrence. And that the surgery will got his hands, and that Lawrence will come out of that okay. Yeah, Lawrence. Let's see. I guess that's... Just continue to be in prayer for John Hintz's friend, John Haig. I think I told you that John shaved off all of his hair. It was so funny. Sunday, I saw him Saturday night on Skype, and he said that... I said, well, if the church sees you, he said, no, I did it today. And it was so funny because Gene Haig... Now, Gene and John and John and Judy, they do a lot together. They're very close. Well, Gene came in, and she didn't even notice John's hair for... It took her a few minutes. And she went, what did he do? And John got up there wrong by now everybody had seen. He said, I'll never go to John's barber again. So be in prayer for John and Gene. Don't know what God is doing, the timetable that God is working on there, but just be in prayer. Got an email from them today, and they're doing fine right now. So what they're trying to do now is work out their chemo schedule. He had it last week, 5 days, 2 or 3 hours a day. This week, nothing. And next week, they're planning on doing it again. And then they'll just have to see how things go after that. So we need to continue to be in prayer for him, or for them. And any other prayer that I've forgotten?
I was just going to say something. The little girl that we've been praying for.
Candace?
Yeah. Oh, my granddaughter, we picked up some little beads that she had made while she's doing chemo. And I picked up my granddaughter today. She had the beads on. And she, every time she looks at the beads, she prays for her.
Oh.
And it just kind of touches me. But today, I let her out of school. And the little girl that opened the door for her to go in said, what is the little girl's name that we're praying for?
Wow.
And Madison looked at me and said, Cadence.
Yeah.
And so I thought, what's really neat? She's going to that school, and they're praying for this little girl. So all
that's beautiful.
Just really...
That's beautiful.
Really, yeah.
I guess those necklaces do something. They never did anything for me, but I guess they do.
It's a reminder.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Only time I ever thought of wearing one was for the POWs. But very good. Okay. So we need to continue to be in prayer for Cadence. Absolutely. Okay. Let's begin with the word of prayer. Now, we have seen in our country how fast it is to lose your so much money and for retirement, security, and all these things. But there's one place that you'll never lose it, and that's at the judgment seat of Christ if you earn it during time. And we're finishing up the looking at rewards. We've done the weddings and all that. We'll get back to Revelation 19 next Tuesday night. So tonight I want to finish this up in dealing with the rewards and just that area of it from a passage that I had not done when we did rewards. So we're filling it in. I don't want to leave anything behind on this. I don't know if I'll ever come this way again. So let's begin with the word of prayer, and the Holy Spirit will open our eyes to the things He wants us to see, and building up treasures in heaven, not on earth. Let's pray. There is no security on this earth, Father, and we know that. Things of this earth are unfair. We know that. But Heavenly Father, You have given to us the confidence of security for all eternity, the security of eternal life, the security of being in the kingdom, being in heaven. And now, Heavenly Father, we're taking a look at how we can not only be confident of our eternal life salvation, but we can be confident of rewards in heaven. We can be confident of these things, as Paul has well taught us. And now, Father, we close this segment of study of dealing with the rewards, with building, not only for the pastor teacher, but for all of us, and building on the foundation of Christ. Pray that your Spirit will open our eyes to the things you'd have us to see of having these things in eternity, Father. In Christ's name, amen. Okay, 1 Corinthians 3, let's just get up to where we left off. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, a wise meaning understanding the issues of what's being built, I laid a foundation, and another is building upon it, but let each man be careful how he builds upon it. Verse 11, Paul declares what that foundation is, just in case you missed it. For no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if you catch on what's going on, he said, I lay, but it's already been laid. That's the point here. The foundation is Jesus Christ, and he's just building onto that foundation already laid. No one can. This is that dunamai, denoting power or ability. No one even has the ability to build a foundation other than Jesus Christ, lay that foundation. For no one can lay another foundation. That is, no one can lay a foundation of the same quality, the same uniqueness as Jesus Christ. Make it very emphatic in my funerals and different places and even in Africa. Why Jesus Christ? Because we got so many religions. We got the Islamic religion going and all these things. What's so special about Jesus Christ? And so he's the only foundation. For no one has the ability to lay a foundation alongside the one approved, who is Jesus Christ. So this is the issue. One approved. Who does the approving? God the Father. He is the one that does all the approval. The Greek word means to put or to lay something down, to appoint something. No, so the one approved, and that is Jesus Christ. God the Father appointed God the Son to go to the cross to be the foundation of all his activity with mankind and with angels. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, just as he chose in him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and blameless before him in love. So I've already decided what I'm going to be, started working on what I want to do Easter or Resurrection Sunday, and dealing with this whole gospel issue, the crossless gospel and the resurrection, where does it fit into all of these things? So the foundation of Jesus Christ means that the entire plan of God is dependent upon Jesus Christ, and therefore our lives are dependent upon Jesus Christ. Verse 12. Now, if any man, here's the grace of God, any man, God's grace, God's foundation is offered to every male for being a pastor, teacher, but for everyone who teaches or builds on this in their own life. Now, if any man builds, we have a contrast, laying a foundation and building. So we have a contrast, two words here. We have building and laying. So we have the contrast of building and laying. So lays a foundation, building on that foundation. Upon the foundation, what's that? Jesus Christ, incarnation, crucifixion, burial, resurrection, ascension, and session, seated at the right hand of God the Father. Okay, upon the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and straw. Gold, silver, and precious stones. Very simple. Gold, God is creator. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. All the truths, doctrines, if you please, that relate to Jesus Christ. The silver, this is the Spirit-filled life. Sending of the Holy Spirit. Being filled with the Holy Spirit by faith. The fruit of the Holy Spirit. And the precious stones, all of the other true doctrines that are given throughout the Scriptures. Not doctrines taught by Satan, but true doctrines of God. So, let's take a look at the three negative products. Wood, hay, and straw. Wood, because of its importance, wood is the false gospel for unbelievers. The reason wood is used for the false gospel is that it sounds so close to the truth. It looks so strong and so right. It's strong enough to keep man from salvation. That's what the wood is. The hay, the false gospel for believers. the false gospel for believers. And then the straw deals with our study in Isaiah 28, all of the list, the do and do, the do and do, the rule on rule, the rule on rule, all of that is straw. Goes up quickly in the fire. Verse 13. Each man's, okay, this is each believer's. The context here, of course, is the pastor teacher, but in principle applies to every believer. Each believer, so each man's work will become evident. Okay, this one's important. We think we can see what's evident with each other, but we can't. And I don't know if I've got a couple of the verses here, probably not, but there are verses that tell us don't judge, because on the day of the judgment seat of Christ, every man's deeds will be made known, referring to the believer. But let's take each man's work will become evident. Even in our study in Romans 2, this should be easy. Works of the law are demonstrated of what is in the soul. The law is written, see, the law is written on stone outside of us. It's not written on the inside of our being. Each man's work, here again, the key word in this study, work. This has caused a lot of problems. Every time most people see the word work, they think of doing something. Labor, do and do. Our production in this area. But as we have seen in the Greek word, ergon, is used for do and do. It is used for the charismatics. It is used for learning doctrine. It's used for all these type of things. But Jesus Christ himself uses this word, work, every man's work. What is that work? And we've seen this with all of the other categories of rewards. But here we have it again, so let's take a look at it. Every man's work, and he uses it for faith. Let's look just one more time, John 6. Let's just quickly look at John 6. It's just one of those words that causes so much trouble. It's like the word obedience. This causes so much trouble. It's just... John and Dan and I talked, and we could tell where people were in these recognized scholars, and I'll give them that, but you could just tell where they weren't. And you had to believe in Jesus Christ to be forgiven. And we all three wanted to raise our hand and just, do you mean that, or are we forgiven at the cross? And I feel confident that a lot of these men haven't really been pressed to think that through. Maybe they have. I don't know. I'm giving them benefit of a doubt. But they would just say things, and it's like obedience and these things. And we talked in the room one night. We got to be very careful. We do. Of judging and attacking and all that. And I just said, well, somewhere along truth's got to be there too. And I agree. We can't be attacking everything. We got to pick the battlefield. The battlefield for this group is the Spirit-filled life by faith. But it's just amazing the thoughtlessness that's gone into to teaching by men that are supposed to be well trained, and maybe they believe what they're saying in these things, but I wonder if pressed they would. So let's look at John 6, 29, and we'll read 26 through 29. John 6, 26 through 29. Let me get back to there. Okay. Truly, truly, I say to you, you seek me, not because you saw signs, which should direct them to him, not because you saw signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. People, this is just political. As long as you feed people, they're going to vote for you. And when you don't feed them, it's all bets off. And this is where we're heading. America used to have confidence in the laissez-faire capitalism that I work and you get it, and that, but now all that's over and people want the government to take care of them. And they deserve it. They don't earn it. They deserve it. So here they see a chow line that's just free there. Do not work for the food which perishes. Whoa, what does that mean? Don't work for the food that perishes. But, and then the ideal of the verb, but work for the food which endures to eternal life. Now he's playing with their mind. Because we all know you got to work, plow the field, and sow the leather for the sandals. We know that. Here he says, don't work. do not work for food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man himself shall give to you, for on him the Father, even God, has set his seal. Well, that's what they only wanted to hear. Now they want to know the word. They therefore said to him, what shall we do, there's one thing, that we may work, here's the second one, the works of God. So their whole mind is occupied with working. Verse 29, Jesus answered and said to them, this is the ergon, the work required of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. He sent his Son for eternal life. He sent his Spirit for our spiritual life. But the ideal of the work here is faith. Faith is the work. That is the work. So that becomes the great issue. Verse 26, people, that's a social gospel. This is what a lot of preachers are teaching now. Big time radio, TV people. You know, you just have faith and God's going to give it to you. And it's a social gospel. And the true gospel has nothing to do with these type of things. This is the work of God that you believe. Okay, let's go back now to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Okay, what I want to do here is I'd like to apply, those of you that were here several Sundays ago, it's been quite a few now, but 5 or 6 Sundays, but Phil McMillan, we were talking, and I asked him in reclaim about logic, and he gave the 3 things of logic. So let's apply that to our study. The law of logic, the first law of logic, is the law of identity. A thing is what it is. One is work of the flesh. The other is the work of faith. That's it. Thing is what it is. It's either working by flesh or by faith. 2, the law in logic of contradiction. I kind of like this. I'm going to be using it in other places. The law of contradiction. A thing cannot be what it is not. A thing cannot be what it is not. The work of the flesh cannot be the work of the Holy Spirit. It just can't be. It's not what it is. And preachers that get up and want to say that it is, they're wrong. They're not even executing logic in the human realm. So a thing, the law of identity, a thing is what it is. Law of contradiction, a thing cannot be what it is not. And then the third, the law of excluded middle. I always had these people went the middle of the road, middle of the ground, a little here, a little there. There is no in-between. There is no way that God is going to accept the works of the flesh as the work of the Holy Spirit. Period. It's not going to happen. And so before God, work of the flesh can never be anything but the work of the flesh. The work of faith cannot be anything but the work of faith acceptable to God. Faith in Jesus, in the Holy Spirit, or in Christ. Since this is true, how are we to know the difference? And more often than not, look the same on the surface. Preaching, giving, singing, praying, helping someone, these type of things on the surface, they look the same. So how are we going to know the difference? Look what our passage says. For the day will show it. Okay. The day. What day? That's the big issue here. For the day will show it. His work will be shown for what it is. For the day will show it. What day? Romans 2:16, in dealing with the unbeliever, on the day when, according to my gospel, God will judge secrets of men through Christ Jesus. Now, in our verse, for the day will show it. Okay? These are 2 different days. The day in Romans 2 is the day of judgment of unbelievers. The great white throne. The day in our study is the judgment seat of Christ. And that we've studied the judgment seat of Christ now and all these rewards. People, you are all of us, we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. That's a fact. So you might as well get that down. We're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We're going to stand alone. You cannot blame your wife. You cannot blame your husband. You cannot blame the preacher. You cannot blame anybody. You're going to stand there on your own. About the time that you spend in the filling of the Spirit by faith and the time you spend in the flesh doing all these great things for God. And there's just no way, people, he's going to take the energy of the flesh and say, okay, well, you had a good intention. Your heart was good, or this type of thing that people want to do. No. Is it in my spirit or not? It's going to be very simple. That's why when people talk about, man, he can't do it. All the believers of the other church, I don't think there's that many that did too much in the filling of the spirit. I think it's going to be very easy just to write off a whole bunch in a second. But be that as it may, this is the day, the judgment seat of Christ. I remind you, we're all going to stand there. So that is the day. In our passage, judgment seat of Christ, and there are going to be a great number of believers in shock on this day. It's going to be a great number of believers. They are so sure that they have done so many wonderful things and going to reap all these rewards, and it isn't going to happen. Verse 13, each man's work will become evident, for the day will show it. Because, okay, here's why this day will show it. It is to be revealed with fire. Okay, let's just talk about that very quickly. Fire is used due to the materials used. I don't know if there's going to be a fire, but the concept is it'll be something that will reveal gold, silver, precious stones, which endures through the fire. They can burn them up, so they're going to endure. Wood, hay, and straw, of course, easily combustible, so they're going to be destroyed. So whatever is going to be, gold, silver, precious stones, whether that refers, is an idiom to get the picture of these things done, is up for discussion. But the fire, whatever is going to be, it's going to be revealed whether what we did was in the power of the spirit or in the power of the flesh. And people, as we saw with all the rewards, whatever you do, you do in the power of the Spirit, you're mounting up reward. I'm talking about love making between a husband and wife. I'm talking about enjoying a vacation. I'm talking about work. I'm talking about anything. If we do it in the power of the Holy Spirit, God is going to recognize that. Okay, and fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. This one verse teaches how important the Spirit-filled life is. Just teaches it. And again, I just, because I experienced it and all, these people, these scholars, they would teach and interpreting the Bible, the apostasy and making it through the apostasy and the hermeneutical principles of studying the Bible and how to understand the Bible. Not one made it dependent on the Holy Spirit. Not one. They made it on our IQ, our ability to study and read the Greek, read the Hebrew and the Aramaic and work it through and apply all these principles and all these things and you'll come out with the right answer. No, you won't. This was one of the most disheartening things to me when I, about my second year of seminary, I began to realize I had been lied to. The answer is not in the Greek and Hebrew. And that's why I majored in Hebrew, people. I'm not linguistic. I didn't take a language course through school, except in the fifth grade. We had a half semester of Spanish. But I had to work and study and study. I would be up, well, in the Hebrew, I would say I'd spend 30 minutes of that hour with my English grammar book, and then 30 minutes transferring that over to the Hebrew. I mean, it took a lot of time. And I was, why did I do this? The answer's right here. Somehow the answer is in parsing these verbs, declining these nouns, and putting it all together and seeing it. And I began to realize, well, it's more confusing in the Greek and Hebrew than it is even in the English. There's just, 26 different ways a genitive can be used. Ha! Where's any dogma in that? And there's just so many different things you can do with everything. So, it's the Holy Spirit. That's the answer. But I was just amazed, and all three of us were, that they just omitted. And like we said, I'm sure if we'd have gone up to them, well, where does the Holy? Oh yeah, the Holy Spirit's important. Now let me show you about these principles. And no, I'm sorry, it doesn't work that way. Okay. So this verse teaches how important being filled with the Spirit is, knowing how to be filled with the Spirit. how God does not look just on what is done, but he looks on the power in which it is done, which it is accomplished. Four ways of showing how God looks into our works. Become evident. It will become evident. That's show it, reveal the quality. And the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. Each individual. I'm not going to get to deal with anybody else. It's your own. Become evident. The verb refers to will become, future tense, judgment seat of Christ. Evident or manifested. To shine, to appear, to make it through the testing of the fire. Show. Future, active indicative, judgment seat of Christ. To manifest, to make known, to show things that have been hidden. See, people, we can just look at what someone does and say, well, that's of God. Because you could have two preachers, two deacons, two people, and they do the same thing. Give the same amount of money. Sing beautifully or whatever. And one is going to be burned up. And the other's going to be revealed. And I think many are going to stand there. Wait a minute. I gave as much as they did. Didn't do it in my power. So test the quality of each man's work. Be revealed. Present, passive, indicative. Note here the passive voice. Or the works receive being revealed. Here to remove a veil, as it were, to lift the covering so that they're revealed. Test the quality of each man's work. Or as you see it in the margin of the New American Standard Version, what sort each man's work. Sort means what kind. Is it the kind that comes from the flesh? Is it the kind that comes from the Spirit? I love the NASB here. It's also funny that they would talk about how important the NIV and now over, but nearly every one of them taught out of the New American Standard. It's so close to the original. It can be done going from one language to another. That's why in seminary I've always been a King James guy. I mean, boy, that old saying, if it's good enough for Paul, it's good enough for me. And about my second, third year in seminary, I just said, no, the King James doesn't have it. And went to the New American Standard. So the New American Standard here has what sort each man's work. That's the almost word for word reading. What sort each man's work. In other words, sort what kind? Is it the kind that comes from the flesh? The kind that comes from the Holy Spirit. Now let's take a look at the flow of the verse. Each man's, that's each believer's work, production in life, will become evident, judgment seat of Christ. This will happen at an appointed time. It will be manifested, made evident. While we live, we think what we are doing is right and glorifies God. But at the judgment seat of Christ, we're going to find out what really does. What really does glorify Christ. Okay, for the day, here's the when, judgment seat of Christ, we'll show it, make known the hidden things to be revealed, because it is to be revealed. Note how important all this is to show what really is there. Each man will become evident. We'll show it. We'll reveal it. Three different verbs. This is how important this is to God. We're fooled by all of this, but not at the judgment seat of Christ. It's going to be evident. So here is the how, revealed, exposed. You set fire to a pile of rubbish, wood, hay, and straw, to burn up quickly. And leaving behind those things that are not destroyed by fire, the gold and the silver and the precious stones. And the fire itself, here's another word, test. So each man's work will become evident. Show it, reveal each man's work, and the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work, or what sort it is. It's of the flesh or of the Holy Spirit. It is one or the other. There's no in between. That's the third law of logic. There's no in between. I wonder if we ought to apply those laws of logic to the study of the Bible, but I think you get the idea of what I'm doing there. So every work that we do, everything that we do, is either in the flesh, sin, human good, things like that, or it's in the power of the Holy Spirit, glorifying to God. All we're doing is obedience. What is our obedience? Faith. That's our obedience. Trusting your Spirit and then being led by Him. Being led by Him in our studies, being led by Him like Sunday when we went through the whole long list of what the priests were doing and doing wrong, the religious crowd, and I said, now, who does this sound like? Jesus. It looks like Jesus Christ. Well, it was just amazing. I was just leaning back in my chair and looking at this list on the computer, and I went, whoa, wait a minute. And so it's not us. Our obedience is faith, trusting the Spirit to open our eyes. Now I'm dealing with just trusting the Spirit to why three or four sins that are named at showing how the Jews profane God, why are these picked? Why are the ones that are chosen by the Holy Spirit? So anyway, these are the things we're doing and that depend on the Holy Spirit. It's one or the other, no in between. Every work we do, everything we do, is either the sin or the flesh. Even witnessing, giving, praying, teaching, helping someone, all these things, people, we're doing it in the Spirit, we're doing it in the flesh. If we're doing it in the flesh, we may say we're doing it for God, but it's all look good in God. It look good before God, gaining from God, all these type of things. So a man can preach, even a preacher can preach and be in the flesh. What he says can be true, but he's doing it in the flesh. Doing it for gain, or just at that particular Sunday or time that he's teaching. So all these things happen. You want to be sure you're filled with the Holy Spirit before you get involved in anything. I know that when I sit down to study, it's the most important thing. Boy, I just go into prayer about the studying of the text and that the Spirit will lead. So, principle, God is not impressed with what we do. He looks at the power in which we do it. God is simply not impressed with what we do. He looks at the power. He looks at things that man cannot see. We cannot see how others are doing it. Someone is kind. We take their kindness. Someone sees. Someone gives. Someone prays. All these things. But God looks deep. And the basis of rewards at the judgment seat of Christ or the power is the power that we did it. The flesh can accomplish nothing before God. And this is so vital. The pastor could sit and study the original text and historical and literal and grammatically and all these things in the flesh and just come out with something really beautiful. We studied men and books on this stuff and they didn't see the truth, a lot of them. But you can do all these things. It just doesn't accomplish anything in the plan of God. Faith accomplishes. Now here's the deal now. Faith, first of all, the flesh accomplishes nothing before God. Now be sure you get the second one. Faith accomplishes nothing before God. Faith accomplishes nothing before God. It's the object of faith. It's the object of faith that gets all the merit. The Holy Spirit, or Jesus Christ is the Savior. The Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit who performs the work. What sort? Power of the flesh, power of the Spirit. God has the ability to look at our soul and see if we're doing this in the power of the flesh or the power of the Holy Spirit. And this is going to be the issue at the judgment seat of Christ. In a sense, it's an issue throughout our life. Throughout our life, the fruit of the Spirit, for an example. Being transformed into the image of Christ, for an example. So throughout our life, what we're doing is, whether it's in the flesh or the Spirit, it's vital. But at the judgment seat of Christ, it's going to be rewarded. Going to be rewarded or not rewarded based upon the power that it's done in. So this is going to be very crucial at the judgment seat of Christ. You want to think about that. This is something every one of us will be. And that is stand before the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. Verse 14. If any man's work, okay, this is a believer. His work, how he did things on earth spiritually, which he has built upon it. Okay, the foundation is what we're talking about. The foundation is Jesus Christ. How he has built upon it. This is upon the foundation of Christ. Remains. Okay? Paul laid a foundation. Others come along and build upon it. I think last week I used the example, but let's just go there real quickly. in just our part of what's going on in Africa. There were other people. Jody Brown and Gene Cunningham had gone to Nigeria where we went, and Zambia where we went. But in Liberia, they hadn't been. So Dan and I got to lay a foundation, and apparently it's taken hold. By the way, they got the money have we sent the money to Dan yet? Okay, we'll get it to him. But we sent him some money, even though we haven't sent it to him yet. But Dan sent the money via Western Union Monday morning, their time Monday morning. And by 3 in the afternoon, Monday, they had collected the money, collected the steel, the frame for the top, and collected all the thing for the ground, and had already put on almost another third of the roof by the end of the day Monday. I mean, boy, they were ready to go at it. And Dan, Southwood Bible Church gave the money to put in a floor. We took up the whole roof, and gave the money to put down a solid floor. And they're already starting to work on that. Going to send us pictures. And I just felt compelled, though, when Cisco emailed me and thank you so much, thank the people in your church, which I will do Sunday, all these type of things. I just said, okay, that's all fine, Cisco, but that's material. What I care about is your spiritual. Dan gave him a study Bible, which is astronomical because they have no type of things like I do in my library or we have here. And, but he has a study Bible. And I said, are you studying it? Are you teaching to be filled with the Spirit by faith? Are you teaching salvation by faith? These are the things. These other things don't even matter. They just make it convenient to sit down and study without rain falling on the people. But the issue is, if you grab what we were there to teach you? And so I'm waiting to get an answer back. I sent that to have been his nighttime. Okay, so verse 14, if any man's work, which he has built upon it, that is upon the foundation of Jesus Christ, remains. This is a picture of the fire. This is the remaining. The wood, the hay, and the straw burns up. But the gold, silver, and precious stones remain. So that's why I said I don't know if this is I think it's an analogy of what's going to be happening here. But it remains. So we get the idea. He shall receive a reward. And we've studied the categories of rewards. So we've got that well into our focus. So here's rewards at the judgment seat of Christ, and they're forever. Verse 15. If any man's work, okay, it's what we do during our life, is burned up, well, then we know one thing. It's of the flesh. It's of the flesh. And I think every believer, and I think a lot of them a lot more, but I think every one of us are going to go, ooh, I thought I did more in the spirit than that. But at least I meant to. But you don't get any rewards for your good intentions. And I know as a little kid I used to get in trouble and doing something, I'd break something, and I tried. Well, you don't get anything but a whipping. All right. So if any man's work is burned up, the judgment seat of Christ, he shall suffer loss. Now, look, but what I want to say, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as through fire. Okay, we know this. This is teaching eternal security. You may not have any rewards in eternity, but you're there. You're in heaven, you're in the kingdom, and you've not lost your salvation. This is another thing that just goes through this lordship salvation, all these things, you got to earn your salvation. No, this verse kind of takes care of that. There's somebody can suffer a total loss of any reward, but he himself is saved. To me, this is just another one of those verses that come through the back door and say, eternal security is true. You've got eternal security. Now, whether or not, just to be funny, you're a street cleaner or something in eternity, but you've got eternal life. And so this to me just is one of the great verses, again, against those who want to teach loss of salvation. That if you sin or you don't do this, you don't do that, no, you can't lose your salvation. You can lose the chance of getting some rewards, but at the judgment seat of Christ, but he himself shall be saved. And that's why you're going to be at the wedding. That's why you're going to be when we go into the millennium. And we'll go with him. So, all right, this takes care then. Any questions on this? Okay, this takes care of all the rewards, verses dealing with them. And so now we're ready to get back to Revelation 19. We left off to get all of these events that took place between the two verses. And so now we're ready to get back to Revelation 19 next Wednesday, Tuesday night. Okay, let's close in a word of prayer. What an awesome God you are, Heavenly Father. There are so many things we do not know about heaven. There are so many things we do not know about eternity. But out of your benevolence, your love, your concern, your knowing of us, you have given us enough information to let put us at rest about what happens after we die. We do not need to fear death one bit. To live with Christ is gain, but to die is gain. To die is to go into eternity. We don't have fear questions. We can prepare for it in the sense of everything we do being in the filling of the Spirit. We can prepare for it by being led of the Spirit to study the Scriptures and grow in this, become mature in the understanding of these things, grasping the truth of doctrine. We can walk in the Spirit and have the fruit of the Spirit come through us, loving one another as Christ loved us. Just rest at peace about eternity. And have an ideal of what's going to happen. It's going to be for all eternity, which is, even that's beyond our comprehension. Ability to think in that sense. Father, we thank you so much for caring enough about us and our weakness, our humanity. You've put aside the fears now, and we can know with certainty the future. What an awesome God you are, Father. Pray you'll take the things we've been seeing in this study now of the rewards, the judgment seat of Christ, the categories of rewards. Let them be a motivation to us. Not to try to heap up big rewards, but to walk in the power of the Spirit by faith. And let you do with us as you see fit. Father, we praise these things in Christ's name. Amen.